What's up, everybody? It's your boys, Ryan and Logan here, back with the Valley Experience. We're sorry we haven't been posting in a while. We've just gotten super busy with school, but we are back and ready to talk more Arizona sports. Today was obviously a very disappointing loss as the Cardinals blew a 21-point lead to the New York Giants. Cardinals at one point were leading 28-7 with right around 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in change in the fourth quarter. Until the Giants offense, which had been completely absent for the first half, just completely awoken in the second half. And from then on there, it was just a snowball effect. And the Cardinals end up losing 31 to 28. We also have a special guest with us here today, our friend Garrett Campbell, who is also a big time Giants fan. So we're going to just be, discussing our thoughts on the game, kind of get a Giants fan perspective on the Cardinals performance and the Giants performance, and then also the Cardinals fan perspective of us, of how the Giants performed and the Cardinals performed. So I'm going to hand it off to Logan, or yeah, I'll hand it off to you first, Logan, and then we can just go from there. First and foremost, man, what are your thoughts on this game? Because it definitely wasn't pretty. And considering that the Cardinals had a 21-point lead in this game and they blew it, that's not good. That's not really a big statement, in my opinion, if especially when you're coming off of a win against Washington. So what are your thoughts, my friend?
First of all, Garrett, thanks for coming on. Excited to get your perspective as a Giants fan.
I want to say thank
Oh
you guys
yeah.
for having me on the pod. I appreciate it. You guys have been killing it so far, and I'm happy to be a part of that.
Yeah,
I
of
appreciate
course, man.
that,
I
man.
appreciate
Thank
it.
you.
Yeah, but like I was saying, I want the Cardinals to have the highest possible draft picks as possible, whether it's 1 and 2 or 2 and 4, whatever it is. I want them to get the best draft picks as possible because like we know nothing good is going to come from this year, but I still want them to be competitive in these games, and fight till the very end. And last year they sucked and they just didn't look like they had any idea what they were doing out there, whether it was the players and the coaches. This year I want them to still suck but look like they know what they're doing. And through the first two games, it's kind of looked like that, like they're slowly putting something together. But I'm not gonna lie, like I was kind of upset after they lost that game because a competitive loss would be back and forth the whole game and like they're fighting to the very end. And they did fight to the very end, but they were up 21 to 7, 28-7, I think it was. It's like, man, I don't want to say I'm rooting for them to lose, but it's like, yeah, I want them to lose, but you gotta put that away, man. Like, yeah, I know the talent isn't great, but you're up 28-7. You gotta figure out a way to just win that game, despite, the Giants being the better team, even though, they didn't look super great in week one, but we all know the Giants are the better team. So Garrett, I know you were at the game. What were some of your thoughts from just as a Giants fan, and also, like, what were your thoughts on the Cardinals?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I was disgusted seeing the first 24 minutes of that football game. They were just this team that just got spanked on national television in week one, got outclassed, out talented, outplayed, out coached throughout the entire first half. I just like the Cowboys game I watch, and I'm trying to find a single bit of like a silver lining or positive note, and I'm just seeing every single unit of the football team just not get the job done. I knew Andrew Thomas would be out for the game, so that left us with a very subpar offensive line. We're talking like second stringers, even third stringers. But I really didn't know. I thought about leaving a couple times. So we get to halftime, and I'm still left without like any reason to believe that the comeback could happen. But then, I think the real momentum changer was when the 60-yard bomb to Hyatt went down. I was in the soda line, so I didn't get to see it go down. So I didn't really have a tell personally of like the momentum shift. But I believe it was when we finally got points on the board, because that was what angered me the most. It was thinking like, are we gonna go 2 weeks in a row without scoring a point? This is a bomb. This is like, I don't even have words to describe how bad it is. But you know, I was very impressed to see in the second half the defensive, most importantly the defensive effort, because we run a defensive style with Wink Martindale as the defensive coordinator. Whole lot of blitzing, a lot of exotic formations, and you can't do a lot of blitzing when you're down 28-7. So I was very surprised to see that they were able to adapt and come out of that locker room with any kind of pulse. You know, I did not expect that. You know, coming like, because now you're starting the season going into that halftime locker room. You got Dallas putting 40-0 on your head, and then you got Arizona putting 20 on your head at halftime. You haven't scored a point, and the defense has allowed 64 points. I am shocked that they were able to walk out of that locker room with any kind of juice, you know. So I, as you know, I got a couple texts from friends saying like, "What an ugly win," and another couple texts from friends saying like, "That was incredible." And I want to lean on the side that it was incredible, because we got to wipe the week one slate clean. And we got to show that like this team, like, yeah, they messed around and made a couple 10-point comebacks last year, but 21-point comeback, that hadn't been done in since 1946. So that was a real momentum shift for our season, because I really thought it was going to be over if we lost today.
Yeah, Garrett, you know, I think it's interesting that you bring up the Hyatt, you know, long play to begin the second half. That was like 60 yards deep into Cardinal territory. For me, though, like when I noticed that the game, you know, kind of was getting, you know, that when the Giants were starting to gain momentum was on that second drive after they had scored their touchdown. Because, well, the Cardinals scored their touchdown, you know, to make it 28-7. That was off of the Marquise Brown score. And then the Cardinals had the 2-point conversion to make it 28-7. And then on the ensuing Giants drive, they drove the ball into Cardinal territory. They were faced with 3rd and 12. Danny Dimes was able to go and pick up the first down by running it out of bounds. And then on the following, then a couple plays later, Danny Dimes again was trying to scramble. And there was a late hit that was called on Cardinals rookie 6th rounder Dante Stills. That was he was flagged for unnecessary roughness, and that gave the ball just, you know, deeper into Cardinals territory, like 1st and goal inside the 10 or something like that. And you know, obviously that was when Saquon punched it in to make the score 28-14. And I'm thinking like, okay, we've got ourselves a problem on the hand here. And no, you saw it. Like, I mean, from right then on there, like the Giants started to gain more momentum, because at that point they had the Cardinals around their throats. They said, okay, like, you know, we understand that now that goes and puts all of the pressure on the offense. And look, I don't want to make excuses here. Obviously, Joshua Dobbs, this is now his second start as the Cardinals quarterback. He's only been with the team for 25 days. He hasn't had a lot of experience, you know, especially with his new teammates in training camp, just because he just got here. But it's also just super disappointing as well, at least from a Cardinals fan perspective, that they weren't able to get anything going offensively. And the Giants just kept on punching him in the mouth and punching him in the mouth. And eventually, you saw as a result, they were able to go and, you know, end up winning this game. And I tip my hat off to him. Look, I mean, it's, you know, obviously from a Cardinals fan perspective, I obviously wish they would have won. But like for the Giants, now, granted, I mean, despite them getting blown out 40-0 last week against the Cowboys, they were a playoff team last year. Saquon Barkley had a fantastic year last year, and you know, obviously he had the injury today with his ankle, and we're certainly hoping that he's back and healthy for the Niners quick turnaround, or for the Giants quick turnaround against the 49ers on Thursday night. So, yeah, I mean, all the way around, I mean, it's disappointing from the Cardinals fan perspective, but you got to tip your hat. I tip my hat off to the Giants, because this win was well deserved, and the Cardinals, they just blew it, simply put.
I saw the same exact problems in the first half that I saw in week one, but it was a totally different team and a different style of play that was just beating us over and over again. Like, James Conner had one hell of a first half, and Josh Dobbs was run, but like he was like that read option made me think like, all right, well, if we can't stop a read option from Josh Dobbs, then we're in trouble. And we very much were for about a good like 60% of that ball game. And I saw a lot of things out of the Cardinals that from both this game and the Commander game that make me think like, all right, that guys are starting to buy in the locker room. They're starting to fire, they're starting to get fired up. And you know, it's the film that they're putting together that is proof that they can do something. You know, I think the Caesars, I think the sports books had them at like an over under at like 3.5 wins. I'm very disappointed I didn't take that because I'm starting to like, I know it's only year one of this regime of the Cardinals, but there's a lot to be optimistic about.
No, there is.
Yeah.
And look, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to say this as well. I mean, I want to actually take back something that I said on the previous show that we did. We did our Cardinals season preview, and we had one of Connor's, or we had one of Logan's good buddies on the show. His name was Connor, and we were given our season predictions. And I said that the Cardinals would win 8 to 9 wins and have make a playoff appearance. I'd actually like to retract that and say I'd probably say like. I probably agree with the Caesars Sportsbook, maybe around that 3 to 4 win margin. But Garrett, circling back to your point, I definitely think that you are seeing, you know, people buy into the new regime because look, this Cardinals team, they what they need is they need for their rookies to produce for them down the stretch, okay? And when you think about just all of the great franchises that have won Super Bowls over the course of their history. They've done it by drafting players, building up through the draft, and keeping them together on the same team so that they build that chemistry and that continuity. We saw it with the 70s Steelers, where they had that dynasty with the Steel Curtain. We saw it with the Patriots for both in the 2000s and the 2010s. Same thing goes with the Legion of Boom defense in Seattle. So it's very important because that was the big thing that was missing under the previous regime. Especially with Steve Keim, was that the Cardinals had so many failed draft picks. And he was also that type of guy where he would mostly try and aim for the big home run signing through free agency, which to his credit, he did have a few like key signings. And especially when it came to wheeling and dealing with trades, I mean, he traded a second round pick and David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins. He traded a second round pick and Jonathan Cooper, who was. You know, a draft pick that didn't pan out for the Cardinals, for Chandler Jones. So, I mean, you've seen him like to his credit, like, you know, make those moves. And both of them, like both Chandler Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, had some really productive years for the Cardinals in their time with the franchise. But then you also started to see it as well. Okay, you had guys like Robert Camdichie, he was a failed draft pick. Jonathan Cooper, who I just mentioned, he was a failed draft pick. The Cardinals did have Deion Buchanan. Which, I mean, he was okay for like a few seasons, but then he never really, you know, panned out down the stretch as well. So it's important, I think, that, you know, with the picks that the Cardinals invested in with these players that they have drafted, that they continue to develop and they use them down the stretch. And so far, we've seen that. We've seen Ketrell Clark. Obviously, there were a few times, you know, in the moments in the game where he's definitely struggled. But I think, you know, for the most part, he also showed some resiliency as well down the stretch. And he also had a pretty solid preseason as well. We've seen Michael Wilson also make a few plays as well. We've seen Paris Johnson Jr. just play with absolute physicality along the offensive line. So, and even too, like BJ Ojulari, there were a few times where he definitely stuck his nose in there on the defensive side of the ball as well. So, this season is all about just like building for the future. And, you know, if the Cardinals play their, if the reason why the Cardinals struggle this year is because they're playing their rookies, that's totally fine. Just so long as they continue to develop and build that continuity and chemistry moving forward.
Yeah, I want to talk about Josh Dobbs and you know just the offense as a whole for a bit. You know, there were a lot of Cardinals fans on Twitter, myself included, last week who were like, "How in the world is this offense gonna do anything with Josh Dobbs at quarterback?" But I mean, you saw this week, like, you know, people forget that like last week was like really his first like full week of preparation. Like to get ready for not even a preseason game, but like a regular season game as a starting quarterback. So obviously, like, it wasn't going to look pretty last week, and it didn't. But this week, he got another full week of practice, another full week of reps, as QB1, and it's like yeah, you can give your campaign for Clayton Tune to be the starter, but it's like, until Kyler Murray gets back, whoever's quarterback for the Cardinals, like, he's not gonna be good. Like, you just like I liked what I saw from Josh Dobbs today, but like, it's not like we're fighting for Josh Dobbs to be like the face of the franchise quarterback going forward. Like, we know what he is. He's just a stopgap until Kyler Murray gets back, or a stopgap until whoever they take at number one. But it's like, we know that whoever's quarterback before Kyler, or until Kyler Murray gets back, isn't going to be anything special. So, overall, I liked what I saw from Josh Dobbs today. I feel like he's kind of, I'm not saying he is Kyler Murray, but kind of like this, a similar play style where, they can run the read option. He can scramble and make a couple throws on the run. But so I liked what I saw from that. But yeah, I mean, I think we just kind of got to face it as Cardinal fans. And I know I've already said this a few times, but this offense isn't going to be anything special with a quarterback like Josh Dobbs or Clayton Tune. We just kind of just got to hope that Kyler gets back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Logan, because I think it leads me into a question here. Because obviously, I think Josh Dobbs is going to continue to be the starter for this team so long as Kyler Murray is out, and until he comes back. But I'm just curious, to get both, your thoughts and even Garrett, your thoughts as well. What does this loss do for the Cardinals moving forward? That's the question, for you, Logan, and then Garrett for you. What does this win do for the Giants moving forward? Garrett, I'll start with you first.
This win basically, this was supposed to be, when I saw the schedule release, I this was like a gotta have it type of win, based off of just like, being in March in the off season and seeing the roster comparison. But just the fact that we have a whole lot more road games ahead of us. I don't think we play more than two home games in the next 10 game stretch. So, we and of course we got to go to San Francisco in a couple days, and I'm not too optimistic about that one. That's a high flying offense with a defense that can definitely throw our offensive line around, especially on the left, especially on the right side. I think Bosa can have his way either way. We're still in sole possession of last place in the NFC East, so I still have to decompress, let my bias get out the window and just kind of like assess, where we're at and where the schedule is. I don't got it off the top of my head, but I do feel good that they're capable of pulling something like this off, and I'm glad that they got this and the Dallas experience out of the way, because don't get much worse than week one. And now you know that you're able to pull off this type of a comeback if you got to pull some tricks out of your sleeve a few weeks down the road. I just certainly hope it doesn't come down to a situation like this Sunday again. But San Francisco is going to be a real test.
Yeah, and
No,
then
absolutely.
Ryan, to answer your question, going forward for the Cardinals after this game, I mean, I liked what I saw in the first half, but I mean, I'm looking at their schedule. They have Cowboys next week, then Niners, Bengals, Rams, Seahawks, Ravens. I mean, like, even if they play good, I do not know when that first win is going to come. Like, I really don't. But despite that, moving forward, I would hope to see more of how they played in the first half going forward. I don't know if that's going to come on a consistent basis or not, but I really did like what I saw from both sides of the ball in that first half. And like I said in my last point there, like, how this offense isn't really going to be anything special. When you have an offense where, like, you don't have too much talent on that side of the ball, you kind of just want to make it as simple as possible. And, that's just, lots of runs. I think they have the right guy to do that with James Conner. I mean, that guy can take 95% of the snaps for the whole entire game right there. I mean, that guy runs, he's just a stud. Every single run, he just tries to run over whoever's in his way. He had a great game today, over 100 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, just making it simple, lots of runs, and involving the tight ends too. I feel like that's what teams do with, like, whether it's a rookie quarterback or just a quarterback with not a whole lot of experience, just involve the tight ends as much as possible. And I think the Cardinals have a couple of guys to do that too with Ertz. I mean, he's a good veteran tight end. You can always just dump it off to him, or have him get out in the open field. And then they got a nice young tight end too, and Trey McBride, who I talked a little bit about in the season preview, how I was excited to see. So, just keep it simple. It's not going to be anything special with this offense. Just let James Conner, eat, just give him the ball 25 to 30 times a game, and get your tight ends involved. And, for the receivers, yeah, I'm excited about Michael Wilson. He's one of my favorite rookies from this class. So, I'd like to, outside of just the running backs and the tight ends, just get the rookies as much playing time as we can, because this is a rebuild where I think we have a few years of not being so good in our future. So just get the young guys as much reps as possible. And yeah, not really focused on how many wins we get, just how competitive we are in these games.
One thing I want to say is, like, I to on the point of youth, like, I know that a lot of the veterans on the team are on the offensive side of the ball, but I was really impressed by just the sheer fact that, when you got a defense that has, like, all 11 guys flying around the ball, you don't really know who's the standout player, because all 11 of them were like I saw in the first half. I think that's a testament to the coaching, and you got to know that, like, whatever you see in, like, the internet or Twitter or not, like, Gannon is a brilliant defensive mind. Like, I remember in the, I saw some video, like, he was pulling up to the parking lot of the NFC Championship, which I'm obviously was rooting for the 49ers to win. And he pulls into the parking lot, and the Eagles fans are cheering him on, and he just goes, "We're gonna F and kill these guys." And that's just the that that's that energy. It's just like, you want that in your head coach.
No,
Yeah,
gotta
that's a
get that
great point.
fire in our guts.
Yeah,
Oh yeah.
and you know what the, yeah, and you know, Garrett, to piggyback off of your point, no, and that's exactly what the Cardinals have here. And look, they needed a change in head coach compared to Cliff Kingsbury, because Cliff was the type of guy where he was just super chill. He wasn't really motivating. And even with his philosophy as well, I mean, there are times if you watched the Cardinals offense during his tenure here in Arizona, there were times where it was discombobulated, it was disorganized. And but with Jonathan Gannon is that he understands that the Cardinals are at ground zero right now. Okay. And they're working, they got to build their way back up to build that culture so that players in the future look at this organization and say, I want to play for the Arizona Cardinals because of what they have here. And you're seeing guys, I think, despite the Cardinals be 0-2 at this point, you're seeing guys buy into this philosophy. I mean, they're playing with a hard-nosed, relentless, physical type of defense, even though that was completely absent in the second half of this game, in my opinion. But overall, you've seen the defense just, buy into, I think, the Jonathan Gannon philosophy. And I think it certainly bodes well for them moving forward. Moving on to the recap of week two in the NFL, the Seahawks beat the Lions 37 to 31 off of Geno Smith's game-winning touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett. In the NFC West battle between the Rams and the 49ers down the Rams 30 to 23. And moving on to the NFC East, all four teams within their division won this week in week two. It started off with the Eagles beating the Vikings on Thursday Night Football 34 to 28. The Giants obviously beating the Cardinals 21 to 7 to, or excuse me, 31-28 today. And then, of course, we had the Cowboys knock off the Jets 30-10, and craziness in Denver as the Washington Commanders down the Denver Broncos. Of course, Denver in that game had a chance at a late second Hail Mary. They got it to cut the score between to 35-33. And on the potential game tying 2-point conversion, it fell short. So lots to look at here because just looking at all of these teams that are jockeying for position within their own respective divisions, let's go and focus on the NFC West and the NFC East. We'll start with obviously the NFC East right now, because if you look at that, they were a division where everybody was sort of making jokes about them for the longest time. But you saw last year how all four of the teams within that division were super competitive. And so, Garrett, I'm going to start with you on this one. What are your thoughts just on the NFC East as a whole? And who are you looking at as being the favorite to come out of that division?
I would st you know, the thing about the NFC East for the last like 11 years is that nobody's, or I don't know about 11, it may even be longer, is that there hasn't been a repeat champion. So coming into the season, I thought, all right, that trend's gonna roll on. It's gonna be Dallas taking the throne, while meanwhile, maybe the Giants or maybe Washington snag a wild card spot. The Eagles would as well. But everyone, like the Eagles and the Cowboys, look like, along with the 49ers, they all look like the creme de la creme of the NFC. And it's really like, it's hard to think that a team like the Giants or the Commanders could compete with that class of tier in the NFC East. But they're still here to play. Like, just because you don't win the division doesn't mean you can't get in the dance. And I like, you know, the every now and then there's a division that's so competitive that you think, oh, well, maybe all three teams can make the playoffs, like, or all four teams can make the playoffs. I'm not saying that with this year's version of the NFC East, but I think there's it's crazy to see like the growth that went it went from the laughing stock of the NFL, where you can make the playoffs with 7 wins. 3 years later, it's the I in my opinion, it's maybe with the AFC North, the most competitive division in football. So I don't have much optimism for the New York Giants as a 1-1 football team when you got those three teams to go up against. Haven't even seen Philly or Washington yet, and I'm sure they're gonna give us their best luck. So, you know, coming in, like, I think next few games for. At least I know for the Giants, you know, you got the Dol like the, you're gonna see the Dolphins soon. You're gonna see the Bills soon. You're gonna see the Jets, the 49ers. It's not gonna it's it, it it's gonna be a it's gonna be a gut match for anybody who wins that division.
Moving on to the NFC West preview, obviously Logan and I, we know all of the other teams that are in the NFC West, given that we're Cardinals fans with the Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on the division because, I mean, obviously we have the 49ers that are the early favorites to not only win the division, but also be contending for a Super Bowl come February as well. They added some pieces to stock up their defensive line, one in most particularly. They had Javon Hargrave from the Eagles coming over. So there's a lot to certainly like about this 49ers team, and especially when you look at Brock Purdy as a quarterback as well, and him being as lethal. But I'm curious to get your takeaways because you also look at the Seahawks, and they are now 1-1 on the year. Obviously, they had a nice bounce back win against Detroit today. And the Rams, obviously, like they fell today against the 49ers after beating the Seahawks last week. But what are some of the teams that you're looking for in the NFC West that in the NFC West that strike you as being scary down the stretch? And at the end of the day, who are you looking forward to seeing come on top?
Yeah, I mean, I know Garrett, you talked about how, you know, the NFC is one of the tougher divisions, or the NFC East is one of the tougher divisions, which it is. And, you know, you also mentioned the AFC North in there too, which I think that is probably the toughest division. But, you know, I think the NFC West is right there. You know, we know the Cardinals aren't going to be fighting for a division spot, but, you know, it's those division battles. Those division games are always a battle, you know, whether it's Niners Rams like we saw today, or any of the other teams. But I think a lot of people were down on the Rams this year, but even though they lost today, I think they look pretty solid, man. I mean, yeah, they're without Cooper Kupp, but I mean, they got Puka Nacua, like the new fantasy legend right now, getting 15 catches. So I mean, they got a squad. The thing with them is just they got to stay healthy, and obviously their number one receiver isn't, but so far Stafford's looked good. He's looked healthy. So they're only 2 years ago, they're in the Super Bowl, so you can't count them out. But I think in the end, it's got to be the Niners. I think they're the favorites to come out of the NFC, let alone just the division. So I think the Niners are going to be the team to beat. And I think the Seahawks will still compete for a wild card spot. Still a little bit early on the Rams, even though I do think they look good so far. But yeah, in the end, I mean, San Francisco's just they're too good.
No, they are too good. They are a stacked team from top to bottom, both offensively and defensively. And you really got to make sure that you're on the top of your game every time you go up against them. I will say this, though. I mean, just circling back to the NFC East for a moment, though. I mean, because, I mean, Garrett, you mentioned up the point that obviously, the Giants find themselves in kind of a pickle in the middle, having to deal with the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Commanders at this point. But I also look at it as well, at least from a Cardinals fan perspective. And I think with Washington, I mean, we've seen them at the very worst, like be a 7 to 8 win team. I mean, obviously now they're led by Sam Howell at quarterback, but also, and they also have a pretty, like they have a pretty scrappy defense as well. I mean, they have Jonathan Allen and Chase Young and Montrez Sweat, I believe is, the guy's name who was on defense. So you see guys that obviously are, they have a physical defensive line, and that I think just comes from their head coach and Ron Rivera, who's a defensive-minded head coach. But also, I look at the Giants as well, and they have some guys up front as well. Where I mean, you have Dexter Lawrence, you have Thibodeau, who's also a really good defender as well. So I think, I mean, I could see the Giants certainly, trumping Washington at some point. Dallas and Philly are obviously going to be two different beasts of their own, just given how talented they also both are on both ends of the football. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you think, like, where would, at the end of the season, like, where do you see the Giants like finishing, in the NFC East?
I may have mentioned this to you guys before the start of the season, but two things that were really concerning coming off of a Cinderella-like year for this team were the fact that this wasn't this the difference in schedule was significant. We're now going up against the NFC West and the AFC East. So and then the fact that typically 50% of the teams that make the playoffs don't go back the next year. So I already came into the season with doubts, and the first 6 quarters of this 2023 season were disastrous to say the least. So I still don't know if this team's playoff ready after seeing two brilliant quarters and six very bad quarters. But there's a lot to look forward to, and I think we get two more cracks at Philly, two more cracks at Washington, and one more crack at Dallas. If we can beat Dallas in their place, then we're a team to be reckoned with, because that would be the ultimate like smack back in the face. Like that would bring a smile to every Giant fan across the country if we could go into Dallas. I believe that's like week 12 or 13. It'll be in a dome, so it won't re weather never really matters in Texas anyways. So the problem with and the main reason why we're just nowhere near the same tier is because it's this simple: haven't beaten Philly in Philly since 2013, haven't beaten Dallas in Dallas since 2016. I need to see it to believe it. I'm not gonna make any more like false claims about how I think this can be the year. I gotta see it.
It's been that long since they last beat Philly in Philly and Dallas in Dallas. Yeah, and what's crazy is I actually remember that game because That was week one, 2016, when the Cowboys and Giants were playing, and that was when the Cowboys, like they did in the game, in their playoff game against the 49ers, they just had terrible clock management, and the Giants were able to go and just seal out the deal. But in 2013 against the Eagles, wasn't that the game that they were going up against Matt Barkley as the quarterback?
So
If
if
you
it
guys
was,
remember
then
that.
maybe we got to put an asterisk on it.
I think it was. I think that was against Matt Barkley. I mean, and that's dating back a long time as well. I mean, I can't believe it's been that long. Well, but also at the same time, too, I mean, especially Philadelphia, Philly's always just a rough place to play because you know that. I mean, the Philly fans are not welcoming to any opponent's fans. And especially in the case of like Giants fans and I mean, Cowboys fans in particular, given that it's the interdivision rival, I can only imagine just how obnoxious they are towards fans. But yeah, circling back to your point, wow. I mean, yeah, if you're going to want to go and get those statement wins, you got to win in places like that, in those hostile environments.
Yeah, just got to see it to believe it. Like I back to 2016, like you mentioned, when we that was the year we swept Dallas, and man, like was I pumping my chest that year. But just they've had our numbers, and I'm not ready to say that we're in the same tier. I will not say that, like I think Philly's due for a Super Bowl hangover. It's not gonna, like they're gonna be no exception to what's hit everybody else in the history of the NFL, and Dallas will be Dallas. So
Yeah,
just stay
Dallas
tuned for
will
that.
be.
Stay tuned for that in January.
Dallas will be Dallas. No, the thing with it is though, what I look at the Eagles though is that I mean, yes, they lost a lot of their key players that were on that 20 like that were on last year's team. They lost Miles Sanders to the Panthers. They lost Javon Hargrave to the 49ers, most notably. But then they also drafted some guys too. I mean, they got Jalen Carter out of Georgia and Kelee Ringo also to go along with him as well. They did trade for DeAndre Swift, who I think could be like their RB1 in the future. He's certainly a super talented athletic back, and he had an excellent game against the Vikings on Thursday night. So I don't necessarily say if I agree with them, like maybe potentially taking a step back. I mean, we're also going to see like what happens with Jalen Hurts moving forward as well. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Philly. But in my personal opinion, I think that they're still the top dogs in the NFC, just because top to bottom, they still have incredible talent just on both ends of the ball. And if not them, then definitely San Francisco.
I believe I do they play each other in the regular season? I if they do, I'm so excited for that matchup.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see a rematch of the NFC Championship. Alrighty, folks, that is going to do it for us here today on the Valley Experience alongside Logan Lober. I'm Ryan Pasesnik. And also, we want to give a big shout out to Garrett Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Make sure to tune in for the next episode of the Valley Experience for more amazing takes on Arizona sports and sports related. Until then, we will see you all next time. Take care, everybody.